Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How's everybody tonight?
Blessed,
highly flavored. Glory to God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Fuck, kill somebody. Praise God. I mean, y'all know God's a God of order. You know, when we get out of order, it opens the door. Then it promotes more disorder. The enemy will eventually come to steal, kill, and destroy, because that's his job and he does it well. Amen? Would you grab hold of your swords and go to Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrew 1. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Let's read it together. God, who at various times in various ways spoke. Let's say it again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. So he speaks in various ways, doesn't he? Amen? And at various times. Sometimes he'll speak when you're not even ready to hear him. Let me tell you something. One of the things that the Lord is always trying to do is get us to be ready. The word says be ready in season and out. We're to be ready to hear or receive a command at any time and be ready. We should be ready to whatever change, whatever situation in the area that the Lord is saying, stop what you're doing and do this. We must be ready. And there's that area where, again, we can't be involved. We can't be that way unless we are consistent and staying filled with the Spirit. Unless we are consistent and staying filled with the Word, unless we are consistent in what we call abiding and consistent in assembling. Or you'll be led by how you feel, you'll be led by how you think, you'll be led by what pleases you more than pleases God. And one of the things that God will challenge you on is the area of pleasure. He'll want to know what pleases you more, you or him. And when he challenges us, and let me tell you, it comes in some of the strangest ways. You never know. See, because we're so many times we're looking counterly that we're not looking in the Spirit. See, the Lord has the last say of everything, doesn't he? So many times we're just looking counterly, thinking, oh, well, this is this, and this is this, and this is good. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, okay, cool, yeah, when it's not God at all. When there wasn't even acknowledgement that it was a Lord, is this of you? See, he speaks in various ways and at various times. And if we're not sensitive enough about it, we miss. And one of the things I hate is missing what God's trying to tell me. But he's the God of divine order. Things that are in order. You know, spiritually, things that are in order. There's a divine order of the spirit, there's a divine order of the physical, there's a divine order of the financial, there's a divine order of everything, no matter what we're doing. And he tests us on all of them. Why? He says, well, if you're not faithful with carnal manum, right, you're not faithful with the things of spiritual. So there's always the arena where we must always look at, it's a test. Everything is tested. Everything. We are tested on everything every day. We are challenged on everything every day. And we are tempted. When you reject the challenge of God, you get tempted by the devil. And you know, what does the word say? It says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Well, we talked about when the Spirit leads you, because that's direction, then you're what? Protected. When you're not directed, you are not protected. Amen? And one of the things that the Holy Spirit has been revealing more and more, and that's the area where people are wanting their lives to get fixed. And he says, I don't fix lives, I give new ones. I don't fix a life, I give a new one. And so many times the Lord fixed my life. No, he gave you a new life. He's the God of new. Does everybody understand that? He's the God of new. He's the God of life. And he gives new life in every area. But he tests us in every area too. Before he releases, he gives a challenge. Not a temptation, a challenge. And he wants to know if you'll fulfill that challenge so he can release his promise. And if he sees that you're not in order in that, he won't release it. He'll let you go. And you'll continue to think that everything is just hunky-dory until you hit the wall of reality again. See, when God stops, we stop. When he walks, we walk. It's just like the cloud. What did they do? They all hung around the tabernacle of God. They hung around the presence of God. They saw the cloud lift and move. They saw the fire lift and move. Well, now we should know that unction with us is within us because we are the tabernacle. But one of the things that happened, if the tabernacle, if the coals are not being put on the fire, if the oil is not being refilled, there is no light. And where there's no light, there's no sight. I'm going to say that again. Where there's no light, there's what? No sight. So then you're short. We become short-sighted, and we can't see what God is really wanting us to see. So we're only looking at what is pleasing to ourselves. So God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of his power. The word of his power is energy. The word of his power. God's got energy. It's called power. When he had made himself purged, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God spoke at various times and in various ways. In Ephesians chapter 2. Now in the Old Testament, God spoke in specific ways. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. And it says, "And what? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, and raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. You can't walk in them unless you're in the Spirit. "Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ." You were with what? Without Christ, being what? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In other words, we and I were children of wrath, but we're no longer children of wrath. We are his offsprings. We are children of God. We are children of the Most High, being trained up to be warriors so that we can come to the end of ourselves and express Christ. In Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Who has made us what? Kings and priests. In other words, it says God's spoken at various times and in various ways. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through his word. He spoke through his spirit. Now he spoke through Jesus. He spoke through specific things and instruments that the priests use, which we're going to get to. But he's called me and you now to be a priest and to be a king. King in rulership in the spirit realm. In other words, dominion over demonic forces. But you can't, listen, the enemy knows whether you're out of order or not. And when we're out of order, whether it's spiritually, physically, or financially, he knows. Because where there's one spot, one place out of order, he'll access it. He knows. One of the things God is trying to do is get us in order. That's why he's not trying to fix things. He's trying to give us new things. Does everybody get it? He gives us a new life, and in hope with the new life, we are walking in divine order. Because when we're walking in divine order, there's a divine nature, divine character, divine power, divine order, divine favor. All of these things manifest. The end result is favor. So that we, you and I, can be what? Blessed. So that others can see us as being blessed. But where there's not divine order, there won't be divine favor. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 2. So you and I have been called to be priests and kings. And you got to ask yourself, are you a king? Well, if you're not fulfilling your priesthood, it's impossible to maintain kingship. Amen? And a king is one that's in divine order in all things. Divine order in all things. Does everybody get it? Well, see, when you're in divine order of all things, you have dominion. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now look at this. Look at what he says here. Coming to him as a what? As a living stone. Everyone say, I'm a living stone. He is the cornerstone. We are the living stones. And I'm going to show you where this comes from. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are what? Living stones. Are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, he's become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now listen, it says that you and I are now a chosen priesthood. We are a chosen priesthood to warn all those and perform his will. on earth as it is in heaven. So we are to warn and perform. Does everybody get that? Now, as being a priest, he says that you and I are living stones, and he is the chief cornerstone. And a living stone is associated with priesthood, because in the priesthood, he wore a special garment. And in this special garment, the most important part of his garment was known as the ephod. Would you turn to Exodus 28? Hallelujah. Exodus 28, we're going to start at verse 1. Let's speak it together. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. So what does a priest do? Ministers to the Lord. Aaron and Aaron's son, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. I know this may sound strange to you, but again, I look at the garments of a priest is known as under armor, because it is worn under the armor of God. Because the first thing you and I, why? Because the one who puts on the armor is known as a warrior. So the armor will not cooperate without under armor, which is priestly garments. You know why? Because when you try to put on armor without any under armor, it begins to tear the skin. It begins to hurt. You can't function and operate correctly. Does everybody understand that? These are holy garments, and they're specifically prepared, colored, sewn, woven. Everything is perfect, representing Christ Jesus in every area. And he says, and these are holy garments. In verse 3, he says, you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash, so that they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that they may minister to me as priests. In other words, there's a special attire to approach the Lord that they had to wear. And only those who wore those special attire that were sanctified by the Lord could enter into the tabernacle of meeting, the most holy place. In verse 5, they shall take gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen. They shall make the ephod. Now, the first thing he says, he tells them about what they're going to make, but the first thing he says is, you're going to make the ephod first. Why? Because this is the most important part of the garment. They shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. Now, the ephod is almost like an apron that comes over. And it goes on the front and the back, and it has straps that come over. And it's, like I said, it's like an apron. In other words, they have the fine linen on her, and then the ephod goes over it. But he's telling them to make the ephod first because it is the most important part. In verse 7, it shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven bond of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. You shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. In other words, the tribes of Israel. So they're going to take these two onyx. They're going to engrave in these stones six tribes of Israel on each stone. Does everybody go with me? And it says, six that are names on one stone and six names on the other stone in order of their birth. With the work of an engraver in the stone, like the engravings of a signet, you shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel, and you shall set them in settings of gold. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod, as the memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So they will go up on top, right up on the shoulders, these two stones. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords, fastening the braided chains to the settings. You shall make the breastplate of judgment. Now, this is one of the most important arenas. The breastplate of judgment. So it was a square plate that would go on the ephod. Now, remember, you have the two stones that have on each side the 12, six tribes of Israel. And then in this ephod, which they wore, he was going to put also the same thing of colored stones representing each tribe. And it says here, verse 15, and you shall make the breastplate of judgment. It's called judgment because God was going to speak to the priest through the stones. And you shall make a breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, and you shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. You shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardius, topaz, and emerald. This shall be the first row. So there is going to be four rows with three going across. Four rows with three going across. It says, the second row shall be turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. The third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row, braille, onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold settings. And the stone shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings and the signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. Now again, each one now will have a significant name. So each one will have its own name because there will be 12 stones associated with a special stone. So you have on two shoulders two stones that have six names on one and six names on the other. And on the breastplate, each stone has its own name engraved. So according to the breastplate that has the 12 tribes of Israel, it actually is fulfilling the whole alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet with all the names. Is everybody with me? Because all the names, they'll have letters on each name that will fulfill the full alphabet of the Hebrew language. Is everybody with me? Okay. Hallelujah. Verse 22, you shall make chains for the breastplate at the end like braided cords of pure gold. They shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which is on the inner inside of the ephod. The two other rings of gold you shall make and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward this front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment. It is called the breastplate of judgment because God was going to speak through the stones. This is why these stones become alive. That's why you and I are called living stones in representation of the priesthood that was the most important part of the priest was the ephod. Is everybody with me? So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. Now, verse 30. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart. So in this, they're going to put this also in the breastplate of judgment. So they're going to put two additional stones. One is going to be called a Urim. One is going to be called a Thummim. And it'll be over the heart, because God's going to speak through the heart of the priest. And these two stones are specific. They represented a yes or no. They represented a yes or no. And one would light up. One or the other would light up. One represented a yes. One represented a no. When God wanted to bring a message besides yes or no, he would light up the letters that were in the breastplate. Each letter would light up and it would bring a message to the priest. That's why you and I are now the living stone that are carriers of the eternal message. Remember, the Word became flesh, but you and I are the flesh that becomes Word. And he says, and they shall be over Aaron's house. This is the Urim and the Thummim. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Again, that judgment means God is speaking to his people, but he's going to speak to the priest. Why? It was required that the priest inquire of the Lord. Amen? He was the one that went into the most holy place, stood in front of the mercy seat. He's the one that went to the tabernacle. He's the one that communicated. What did God say? He said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. And I'll speak to you. I'll give you the commands that are needed. Again, the priest ephod is the most important part of the priesthood garment. When the Urim and Thummim was placed in the breastplate of judgment, because that's called the breastplate of judgment over the heart. Now, what used to occur was on parchment paper, the priest would write the name of God. Now, you got to remember something, that the Jews never mentioned the name of God. They would not write it. They would not write it. It was too holy for them, so they didn't write it. But they would write the priest would write the full name of God on parchment and put it inside behind the Thummim and the Urim. Because it was the name of God right there inside. He would put it on a parchment paper, and he put it inside the ephod on his heart, so that God's name was on his heart. And when God would speak, he was speaking in his name through the Thummim and through the stones. Thummim, Urim, and through the stones on every stone that was coming off the breastplate. Is everybody with me? So these stones became alive. They illuminated. They lit with the whole alphabet of the Hebrew language. So when there was a circumstance of yes or no, it was either the Thummim or the Urim that would light up, meaning a yes or no. And when God wanted to declare a message to them, there would be a person with the priest that would be reading the message. He would be close to him. And so he would write down the message, and then he would bring it out to the people to read. But the priest would read it. So the message was written, was recorded through the lighting of the stones, and it was given. What was written was given to the priest, and he would come out and declare to the people what was going on. Is everybody okay? Again, the stones were a priestly device for them to inquire of the Lord, well, again, yes or no with the Urim and Thummim, or the divine message through the illuminated letters. These engraved stones, each stone being engraved, each one carried the letter, amen? Because they carried the names of the tribes of Israel, and on each name, a letter would light up and releasing the message to the priest that someone would be in front of, and he would write it down and give it to the priest, and the priest would come out and declare it. Is everybody okay? Now think about this. Look at how David took a stone and put it in the sling and swung it, and he hit Goliath, perfectly in the forehead that killed him, because that stone was a representation that would become alive. Does everybody understand it? Why? Now, you and I, we carry the sword of the what? Spirit. The stone was a representation of the Word, the living Word that was delivered and brought. Why? Because Word is the Word of fact, the mind. Amen? It renews the mind, doesn't it? Okay, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So you and I are the living stones, a representation of the stones that were on the ephod, that you and I now carry the message of eternity to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our what? Epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Known and read by all men. Now you gotta, when you begin to correlate the arena of the priest that wore the ephod that brought the message, where all men were able to read from, because the priest would get the message back that was copied and he would speak it to all men. And where did it come from? His heart. Because God would speak through his heart and illuminate these stones. That's why the priest had to be sanctified. He could not go in the most holy place and skip one ritual or he died. There was a rope that was tied around his ankle. There was a bell. If he went into the most holy place and forgot any part of the ritual or set up to cleansing, that's all you would hear is a bell ring. Ding! Poof, pull him out. Next. Hallelujah. In verse 2, you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Verse 3, speak it with me. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers or priests of the new covenant, not of a what? Letter, the letters that were illuminated. We're not of the letter anymore that was illuminated. Does everybody get this? But of the what? Of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Why? Because the letters that were on the ephod brought what? It was known as the ephod of what? Judgment. Oh, hallelujah. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on what? Stones. What stones? The stones on the ephod was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Why? The ministry of the Spirit is associated with the offsprings of Christ. Only we who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ can now become the living stones, the stones that came from the ephod. Why? Jesus is the what? High priest. He is the high priest. Is everybody with me? And because he was the high priest, he's associated with wearing the what? Ephod of the stones. But he is the cornerstone of the stones. And you and I have come as offsprings, now have come as stones, living stones. Not by the letter, but by the Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people. He answered his people by dreams, prophets, and stones through the ephod. Does everybody understand that? Of course, then the things that they were writing and so forth, and of course, visitations. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Is everybody okay? Do you realize who we are? Where we came from? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 28. verse 4, it says, then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel, this is King Saul, together and they encamped at Gibeah. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Does everybody see that? He didn't answer him. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. So, because God refused to speak to Saul because Saul's been disobedient, he refused to speak to him. Let me tell you something. When you're not hearing from God, there's something wrong. So when God refused to speak to him, he chose to practice witchcraft. Is everybody with me? But he didn't get any answer. He didn't get an answer through the Urim, the stones. He didn't get an answer from prophet. And he didn't get an answer by a dream. So he went another way. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. In verse 13, is everybody there? Can you handle this? Let's speak it together. So Saul, what? Died for his what? Unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. So God killed him. But he did not inquire of the Lord, therefore he what? He killed him. And he turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Go to Numbers 27. And there's many testimonies in the scriptures of how the Lord spoke to them through the stones. Numbers 27 and verse 18. You know, when the Lord began to bring me to this, I was like, what? You know, we've always heard about the cornerstone, and it was almost like a question brought to me. Do you want to know what the living stones really are? Yeah, I do. In verse 18, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the what? Urim. In other words, it would be a yes or a no. The Urim would be a yes when it lit up. And his word, they shall go. At his word, they shall go out, and at his word, they shall come in. In other words, and then the stones will light up, and whatever God says, they're going to do. And he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. In other words, he was imparting him leadership because Moses was getting ready to shortly go home, and Joshua would lead from them. Amen? Now, there's another area where God spoke in various ways and at various times. In Proverbs 16, verse 33, is everybody there? In verse 33 in Proverbs 16, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, we've heard that they cast lots for Jesus' garments. Now, these lots were stones, and they had insignias or signs on them. And they would ask the Lord, because these were individuals. These were not the priests. These were people. And they wanted to hear from God. So they would carry these stones that had insignias on them, and they would ask God whether this was a yes or no, or what we were supposed to do, and they would cast a lot. And when the lot came up, it would give them an answer, and they would look at it as an answer from God and obey. Go to Joshua 18. Joshua 18. Now, you got to understand that Satan's kingdom likes to copy what God is doing, but turns it into something defiling, corruptive, counterfeit. Amen? Now, they don't use the ephods anymore. There's no more stones lit up, and they don't use lots. Why? Because you and I are the living stone that hears from God. So don't go out there and throwing bones around. Hallelujah. Joshua 18 and verse 8, it says, the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I may, what? Cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in the book in seven parts by the cities. And they came back to Joshua at the camp in Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. Before who? The Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. So obviously they had the stones according to whatever insignias they had on them, the tribes of Israel, I don't know what it was. And whatever came up is what that portion was given. So if the tribe of Benjamin came up, they got that possession. Think about what they call properties now. They call them what? Lots. Where did that come from? Because when they would cast lots in the Old Testament to determine who got that piece of property. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And of course, and then it goes forward and it talks about the fourth lot, the fifth lot, and so forth and everything. Go to Joshua. No, this is Jonah. Yeah, Jonah. Jonah was cool. Oh, hallelujah. Jonah. Where are you, Jonah? Don't hide on me. There you are. Okay, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, we know that Jonah left and he was running from the presence of God. Amen? And he gets on a boat. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Here, these guys are fighting the storm, throwing the stuff overboard, and here's Jonah down there sleeping. So the captain came down to him and said, you idiot. No. What do you mean? Sleeper, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Get up. And they said to one another, come, let us what? Cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Well, since the lots fell on Jonah, he was going to become the cargo. Then they said to him, please tell us for whose cause is this trouble upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Who are your people? Who is your God? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then he said to them, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you." In other words, I'll become a cargo. "For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord." Talk about salvation to a ship. "They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows." In other words, they accepted him from that day forth as their God. Why? Because lots were thrown and exposed who the accursed one was on the ship from running from the presence of God. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 1. We are living stones. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Verse 24. It says, "They prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, who knows the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen and take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.' And they" what? "They cast lots." Even the disciples cast lots in the beginning. "And the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles." So even the disciples at that time cast lots to confirm. They invited the Lord. They cast lots before the Lord to confirm. But eventually, they no longer used them. Does everybody understand that? Go to 2 Corinthians 4. So we don't want to see any, you know, bones rolling in the discipleship houses or anything to find out whether you're supposed to do something or not. Go to your prayer closet and get illumination, not of a stone, because you are the stone. God will speak to you. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, 'I believe and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us for more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we are these earthen vessels Amen. Now, we are not whistleblowers. We are trumpet blowers. Amen. We blow the trumpet because we warn and perform. Does everybody get it? And I want to close at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because we are the living stones and he is the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we've always acknowledged the letter as being the word. I mean the written letter. And it is. There's a parallel to it. It's a double meaning. But it's also, its origination is from the letter that was illuminated because it was known as the breastplate of judgment. Amen? In verse 6, however we speak what? Wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, the living stones. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the carnal man, the natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, who is the cornerstone, and we are the living stones. We are the illuminated word. We carry the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. We are the living stones right from the high priest himself, the ephod, the most important part of the garment of God, known as the judgment, breastplate of judgment. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. So let us become the trumpet blowers in warning and performing according to your will. Protect this seed, Lord. Let us know who we truly are. Continue to speak to us in various ways at various times. Keep us sensitive to your presence, your unction, your word, your voice, that we may be ready in season and out of season to perform your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless.